Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And that whatever we want to talk about is going to be a lot of trading deadline deals that are happening. It's been, I don't think there's been as many as there's been in recent years, maybe in the next 24 hours, probably more like, what is it, 4 o'clock tomorrow? So it's 9 minus 5, 18 hours or so. There'll probably be a lot more deals, but they have been some of the more impressive deals that we've seen in a long time, particularly if you are a prospect town and watcher like I am. Some pretty elite prospects have moved, and it is fascinating. And probably the one with the Cleveland Indians today was crazy where, oh, by the way, Brian Mattis is not the answer. He's now given up 6 runs, and it's only in the third inning. The crazy deal last night, they were reporting that Jonathan LaCroix was coming to Cleveland and Francisco Mejia was the primary prospect involved. As a kid is on a 42-game hitting streak. I mean, that's crazy, a 42-game hitting streak. He's going with a bunch of other guys. Justin Sheffield was one of them. And all of a sudden, you know, I wake up to that news. I go to church and I come back. And that's off the table, and they cut another deal where with the Yankees where they actually get Andrew Miller, and it's kind of like the guy that I always get tweets from that says, would you rather have Andrew Miller or Jonathan LaCroix? It's like, I mean, they're completely two different guys, two different positions. One's offensive, one's a pitcher. I mean, it's like they're all over the place, but Andrew Miller comes, and again, Clint Frazier with his long flowing hair, which he'll probably have to cut off. He's going to have to cut off to come to the Yankees. I mean, those are significant prospects involved. So we're going to get into all of that and all of the, you know, the second and tertiary prospects that were involved, and then what does this mean for the big league clubs? What does this mean for fantasy owners? Who should you be picking up? And replace it, particularly some of these closers that are going down. And if you're an owner of Cody Allen, I'm sorry, you got screwed. You got royally screwed. So it's, he did nothing wrong, and he looks like he's going to lose his job. So it is some of these events that have occurred over this week are great for fantasy owners, and some of them just give you agita. And not a whole lot you can do except probably hold on to Cody Allen and hope things change around and you'll get a few more opportunities for saves in that category. But anyway, we're going to talk to the great Tim McLeod. He will be on shortly. Guys, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that a variety of ways. You can go out and visit our Facebook page. It's prospect361.com. Dynasty League Groups. The great Alan Servinas runs that, does a terrific job. Tim is out there a lot. There's just a whole host of guys that really spend a lot of time. And again, it's seconds with after John Heyman or Heyman and Ken Rosenthal are breaking the trades. They're out reporting it as well. It's a pretty cool thing to see and a great community those guys have set up. You can also get us out on Twitter. I'm more faithful to Twitter than the great Tim McLeod is. My handle is at Rich Wilson P361 at Rich Wilson 3P. P61, Rich Wilson, P361. And of course, you get the great Tim McLeod at Timothy LMC. And of course, you want to go out to Prospect 361. You can ask 361 and I'll respond to you. You can go ahead and ask Tim and Tim will respond to you. His waiver wire article is always out there Monday morning, but quite frankly, it's already out there now. So he got it to me about 15 minutes early this today. I was able to quick run through it and post it out there. So feel free to go out and do that. Before we bring on the Mr. McLeod, I just want to talk to you about our sponsor, SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come a long way, baby, and created an amazing app and website that make it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I've used them for three different tickets, and I tell you, it's great. You know, I'm an older guy, so I'm not like my kids who spend their entire life on their iPhone. But I got to tell you, their iPhone app is really, really easy to use. And I never even went to the website, which is a little different for me. I'm still a laptop guy who goes to websites and wants to see everything. But their mobile app was great. Really simple to use. A snapshot of where your seats are going to be. It just really works well. It's all designed to make your life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see an underpriced seat and be able to find the best seat deals that fit your budget. And again, sometimes you get a good deal, but it's a price that you only pay for. Well, then even though that's the best deal, move on to something cheaper. Get something that's in your price range. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app. That's S-E-A-T as in the seat. Geek, G-E-E-K, as in Rich and Tim are geeks. SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code 361. SeatGeek will send you $20 if you made your first ticket purchase. As I said before, that usually comes through PayPal. Like usually it did for me, came through PayPal. It's a very, very simple process. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code 361 today, enjoying this great service, and we really appreciate these guys. They're wonderful partners to work with. Let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, how are you?
I am not doing too bad at all this evening, Rich. It's a long weekend. You got to love long weekends, but I decided rather than trying the headset, man, it's about 1,000 degrees up here, so I'm going with the phone because you can't play Gopher Soda enough to be able to make it work tonight, Rich.
I got to tell you, Tim, it's the last 2-3 weeks here in New Jersey. In fact, almost all of July, it has been absolutely brutally hot. I mean, hot and humid, mid-90s, yeah. Just miserable.
Well, yeah, there's nothing more fun than a humidity of 110%, eh?
You know, is it me, but the older I'm getting, the less tolerant I am physically of humidity. I mean, I just don't like it. I don't feel very good when there's high humidity outside. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's like, man, I get inside the air conditioner, I feel like my sinuses clear up and everything.
Well, yeah, I work in a truck with no air conditioning and vinyl seats, Rich. Need I say more?
Yeah, I know, Timmy. We feel for you. Hey, it's been a fun week, though, Timmy. You have to admit, this is started off with a bang in that middle part of the week, not a whole lot. And then today, it was before you got on, I was telling people I left for church with Jonathan LaCroix as part of the – or LuCroix as part of the Cleveland Indians. And when I got out of church, he wasn't in. But Andrew Miller was. I mean, I'm like, what the heck? It's like,
what a bizarre series of events. And, you know, my initial reaction was, well, LaCroix, you wanted out of Milwaukee. Here's your chance. But on a little bit further examination and getting all the details, I really can't blame Mr. LaCroix for taking the stand that he did.
Yeah, I mean, he made a look, if you want me to do that, then I want you to get rid of my 2017, which, Tim, $5.25 million. It's a lot of money, of course, for you and me, but that's nothing compared to what that guy's delivering. And rightly so, he says, look, I can reject that trade to Cleveland. You're on my no trade list. You want me, get rid of that. And they said, no, we're going to move on. And now he'll probably get traded somewhere else and have to abide by that. But if he didn't want to go to Cleveland, he ain't going to Cleveland.
Well, no, and further to that, apparently they weren't willing to commit to him to catch next season, which I think was even a bigger stumbling block, Rich, because he's heading into free agency after next year. And if he doesn't have the reps at catcher, what does that do to his value looking potentially at a long-term contract? And, you know, it just came on. I was just listening to the tube, and the comment there was Cleveland said basically, okay, we're offering a series of what we believe are great prospects to Milwaukee. Milwaukee, you figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you're right, Tim. I mean, his biggest value is going to be as a catcher. But, I mean, I haven't studied him versus Yan Gomes, but Yan Gomes is not a great defensive catcher. So at least that's never been my my analysis of it. But maybe he is, because that's a really good pitching staff. So maybe he's a better framer than I think. I'm assuming our Cleveland Indian fans are going to say, oh, Rich, he's a top three catcher in the league and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know.
Well, yeah, I sort of think that with the quality of that pitching staff, maybe a lesser catcher that provides a little bit better bat might be a better scenario.
I was thinking the same thing. That's why I thought Lucroy would have been a nice upgrade there. But if
right.
he's not the defensive catcher that I thought he was, then I guess that's not good, because, I mean, that's a great pitching staff, and now even a better pitching staff now that they've got Andrew Miller. I mean, Tim, I don't know, man. They look pretty strong to me.
Yeah, well, it would help them if they got maybe one more bat, maybe at third base, an outfielder. But right now, they're looking really good, and I think they're going to make another deal before it's all said and done. They were prepared to make that deal for LaCroix. I'm sure there are other players out there that have their attention, and they've got prospects to move.
And good for them. You know, let's go back to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And for the last 3 years, they got the likes of Justin Morneau. Those are the guys they brought in. They never made the big play, which the Indians are playing. And, you know, they're all in that same second tier financial organization. And good for them. Good for their fans that, you know, they have these great prospects, which they do, a very strong system. They're using them the way you're supposed to. They don't all have to make it to the major leagues, and you sell some of those and bring in, you know, help to kind of push you over the edge. So you kind of like what they're doing.
Yeah, I totally like it and respect the organization for what they're doing. They're trying to win when the window is there for them and that opportunity is there. And they're doing the things that I think their fan base has to be happy, you know, to see. On the other hand, we beat Pittsburgh pretty much into the ground, and nothing has really changed there. And it's unfortunate that I don't think there'll ever be a window of opportunity in Pittsburgh. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's interesting. I've been trying in one dynasty league to win solely on the backs of prospects, Tim. I mean, just, you know, because I understand them. And I've got a great team, but guess what? They're underperforming. And in 2 or 3 years, they might be good, but all of a sudden, I'm going to be out of windows and things like that. Sometimes it just makes sense to trade some of these high-end guys to more established players. Okay, so you only have 1 or 2 years of team control, or no years of team control, just a 2-month rental when you really want to go for it. Because, again, flags fly forever, whatever you want to say. And the Mets did that last year with Yoenis Cespedes. Look what Michael Fulmer's doing tonight. That was a big give up, but they made the World Series, and that's what it's all about. Who knows if the Detroit Tiger with Michael Fulmer there will ever make it to the major ever to the World Series?
Well, the way they've been playing lately, the odds have improved rather significantly. They're on a serious tear right now.
They beat the snot out of the Houston Astros. They stopped them. The Houston Astros are playing really well, beat them 3 straight. And Saturday's game, I watched it, Tim. I mean, that was just a brutal, brutal loss. And I know Will Harris made your waiver wire or mention of him because he's had a tough go of it.
Well, yeah, he's had a really tough go of it lately, and the Astros have another closer we can discuss a little bit later that hasn't allowed a run now in, a month and a half. Change could be brewing.
Yeah, Timmy, I mean, I have Kenny Giles in a number of leagues, and pretty much I usually see a result that says 1 inning pitch, 3 Ks. I'm seeing that a lot with the man, so I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, he got off to a rough start like he did last year, and then, man, he just started cooking in the second half, and it's happening again.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a change happening there. And like I said, he hasn't allowed a run since, I think it's June 18th. That's a pretty good streak, isn't it?
I didn't know it had been that much. All I know is, Tim, I still throw him out there because I want the strikeouts. Let's see. 41 innings, 60 strikeouts. That's a 13 strikeout per nine, a 2.81 walk per nine. Those 5 home runs have been early going. But, man, let me check to see the last time he gave up a run. So I'm looking the month of July, Tim. So it's been at least 30 days. He's got a zero ERA, 8.2 innings pitched, 18 strikeouts, and
18,
two walks, and three hits. That's an eight and two-thirds. And then in the month of June, it was 11 2/3, 2.31 ERA, 12 hits, 14 strikeouts. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So after a very, very difficult, actually difficult April, where you had a 9 ERA, Tim, and the month of May was 3.97. So, I mean, he's really gotten himself much better going on here after that very tough April.
Yeah, it definitely you have to like what you're seeing there. And, you know, there's another closer out there that's posting even better numbers, Rich. His ERA in June and July are both zero.
A closer or a setup guy? Closer or setup guy?
Setup guy.
Setup guy. Is this a guess the player, Tim?
Yeah, let's do a guess the player, Rich. I'll give you a
hint. Right. Let me get the music on first, and we always have to do the music because people like this goofy music, which it's only 8 seconds long. I just repeat it, so I don't think I'll get sued for it. Okay, so here we go. Okay, Tim, give me the clue because I don't have a clue.
The incumbent is marching down the wrong street right now.
Oh, Houston Street. So that would be who is the guy there? It's not Joe.
Father's name is Steve.
Pardon me? Pedrosan. Tim, you're terrible at this. You give me way too many clues. Cam Pedrosan.
Well, you know what? I still want to finish second, Rich. It's the thought that counts, right?
Anyway, I can't shut off the music, Tim. Hold on. All right, there we go. So, yeah, Tim, you played the game poorly, but I did not realize that Cam Bedrosan hadn't given up on a run in 2 months. As soon as he gets the closing gig, Tim, he's going to give up runs.
At some point in time, you would think he has to, but I believe he's sporting an ERA of zero for June and July.
That's impressive. Are you surprised that the Angels haven't done anything?
I don't think it's probably for a lack of trying, but how do you move a guy like Houston Street, okay, when he gives up five runs today? That really doesn't do anything for his value, does it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Pujols is untradeable, but we thought Matt Kemp was untradeable. We're going to get that for a moment. Untradeable is a tough word, but, I mean, you didn't think that they could move him, and they moved him, and they just got to get younger, Tim. Otherwise, I know we've talked about this word, they got to trade Mike Trout at some point. Talk about the window. They're not going to go anywhere with Mike Trout.
Well, yeah, I know Calhoun's on a, you know, in a friendly money situation, but there are a few other pieces that they could look at moving. But really, once you get away from there's only one real big name there, and I don't know if you want to make that move. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, it would be go to Boston. And I'll take your entire minor league system.
And Dombrowski would say, yes, it's done.
Yeah, he probably would. It is interesting. They haven't really made a move this week yet either. The Dodgers haven't made a move yet, Tim, and they're loaded. Also, on the Yankees, I got to tell you, I mean, we give the Yankees a bad time because they deserve it. Tim, well done. I thought, you know, about a month, 6 weeks ago, I said, take those two guys and rebuild their entire minor league system. I even said throw on Betances as well.
Yeah.
Tim, they've rebuilt that minor league. So that's a pretty strong organization now.
Well, yeah, and who would have ever thought you'd hear the words New York Yankees and rebuilding in the same sentence?
I think it's, you know, I think they would probably say refactoring, Tim, which is probably a softer way. So as opposed to, say, rebuilding and a fire sale and things like that. So they're just taking a little thing and a couple little pieces out and refactoring. And what a great way to do it with two closers when they have a third closer sitting there. And then the two arms they got back are guys that throw 98 miles an hour and 100 miles an hour respectively. I mean, that's a really nice move.
Well, yeah. And you know what? There's still a potential if they get the right pieces. They could move Betances too, couldn't they?
They could, and they haven't moved any of their, you know, major league guys, probably because, I mean, who wants who wants Brett Gardner these days? I mean, can they even get a whole lot for him? And Jacoby Ellsbury can't bring anything. I still think Carlos Beltran could bring a little bit of something. But it's been all about pitching, Tim. Most of the guys that have gone that have been significant have been pitchers.
Well, yeah, it's we're seeing teams completely retool their bullpen on the fly. It's pretty amazing to watch. This is definitely the year that provides relief at the trade deadline.
Very well played, Mr. McCall. Let's just get it. We're going to go from oldest to earliest, Tim, and some of these it seems like a month ago it was done. And let's talk about Mr. Aroldis Chapman. I'm not sure when it happened, Tim, but it happened sometimes the past week where the Cubs acquired Aroldis Chapman from the Yankees for right-handed pitcher Adam Warren, three minor leaguers, including Gleyber Torres, outfielder Billy McKinney, and outfielder Rashard Crawford. So what's brutal for Hector Rondon owners, 18 of 22 and save opportunities, 48 strikeouts in 37 innings. Hello, you're the setup guy. Mr. Chapman is now the closer. Tough, tough for those Hector Rondon owners.
Yeah, it's tough for his owners. Rondon, well, hey, it's part of the game. And he also realizes that this is for the better of the team. And the Cubs had to strengthen that pen somehow. He'll have the job back next spring, and away we go. He's biting his tongue. He's not saying a whole heck of a lot. He's just going out and doing his job. The right thing.
Totally agree. Totally agree, Timmy. But as I'm not a Hector Rondon owner, but if I was, I'd be pissed.
Well, yeah, there's a few people right now out there that are going to be very pissed when it comes to closers because there's just been so much wholesale change. You can't help but be a little bit ticked. I own Allen in three or four leagues. Definitely
brutal.
Not a big fan.
Brutal.
Not a big fan, but Allen will get some saves down the stretch.
Papelbon, I own him in my NFBC league, Tim. And I mean, I know he's brutal the last week or so, but that was a little surprising. I thought, just like, see ya.
Well, the bottom line is Washington's contending. They're playing for a playoff berth and an opportunity to go deep into the playoffs. Papelbon's been sucking it up. That ain't going to get it done. And Washington went out and made a move to better that bullpen. And I really don't think they didn't have any options. How long do you go with a guy that's struggling, especially when you're looking at, you got to have a bullpen. And Kelly, Papelbon, training, that's not enough.
Speaking of the Washington Nationals, Tim, we haven't made a big deal about this, and we probably should. You know, Trey Turner is pretty much playing every day now. He's almost playing a Ben Zobrist type of thing, a little bit in second base, a little bit in center field, a little bit all over the place. And I'm looking – I know he went 0-for-4 today or something like that, but 15 games this year, 7 stolen bases, batting .339. Again, I don't have today's stats in there. Not bad.
No, I picked him up in one league yesterday where he'd been dropped and he was just sitting there. Those 7 stolen bases got my attention, and hopefully I can see another 7-10 down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stolen bases since he's come back. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, in fact, all of the stolen bases have been since he come back, if I'm reading this correctly. So it's literally been this month in terms of a half a month, Tim. So batting leadoff, I mean, look, we've been busting the organization, particularly the manager, but well done. I mean, they did the right thing.
Well, yeah, Dusty knows baseball. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. Back to the Cubbies. Timmy, is this enough to push them over the top? I mean, they've got the 8th and 9th inning locked down. They've also brought in Mike Montgomery. They've got seemingly depth in the bullpen. I mean, they got Jake Arrieta, who's not been Jake Arrieta recently. They got John Lester, still really two strong guys at the top. I wish they had a third guy to go along with it, but that seems like a really, really strong organization.
Yeah, it's a strong organization, a strong team. They addressed their big need, which is the bullpen. But I agree with you. You can never, ever have enough starting pitchers. The problem is the price of the starting pitchers they'd be looking at acquiring. Probably it's one of those ends justifying means. You know, hey, I'm sure that somebody could pick up Chris Sale right now. But what's a Chris Sale worth? Is it worth it to the Cubs to empty out their minor league system for Chris Sale and go totally all in? I don't know the answer to that, but I would.
Yeah,
I would,
they haven't won a World Series in how many years? If anybody's going to go all in, it's going to be them.
Well, you would think so. There's nobody alive on the planet that witnessed the last World Series, Rich. So, you know, 100 plus years should drive you that. And, you know, looking at the game tonight, our good old friend Brian Manis is getting smacked around pretty good by Seattle. So he's not going to be the answer.
Absolutely. Timmy, I mean, let's assume that Houston Astros and the Giants do not make it to the World Series and the Cubs find themselves in the World Series. And you lost your rooting interest for teams when the Montreal Expos went out of town. And I haven't been a fan of an individual team since the Baltimore Orioles in my childhood. I'm rooting for the Cubs to win the World Series if they get there, right? Aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, everybody loves a loser too, right?
That's true. Timmy, let me tell you a little bit about these prospects that go back to the Yankees. First of all, Adam Warren, a nice little piece. I mean, this is a guy that can be a swing guy, right? I mean, I think he'll help the Yankees down their stretch this year. I think he'll be, I don't know if he's fantasy relevant, but it's a nice little pitcher, right?
Well, yeah, you know, up until I traded for Clippard, Warren was an option in the setup role, so he still could be that option because Clippard hasn't pitched all that well lately. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, totally. So first of all, let me give you the Gleyber Torres is the big guy coming back. My understanding is they could have had Aloy Jimenez, and I would probably have taken Jimenez over Torres. I think Jimenez has, you know, I'm starting to organize my top tens, Tim, and I was really debating Torres versus Jimenez, and I had Jimenez in front of Torres. I liked them that much. But, I mean, Torres is a shortstop, obviously, so a little bit higher value there. The guy can really hit, just like all those guys in the Cubs organization. He's got some pop, Tim, even though he's only hit a handful of home runs so far. A guy that could be up in a couple of years, and I think be a very, very nice fit after Didi Gregorius kind of runs his time there. Or he can move over to third base. You got Billy McKinney, who I liked a lot. Again, another guy makes really good contact, controls the strike zone well, but he might be a tweener, Tim. He might be a fourth outfielder in the long run. I don't know how fantasy relevant he'll be. He's got a little bit of speed, a little bit of pop, but probably not enough to make a difference. He can hit. If he can hit high in the lineup, I think there'll be something there. I don't know a lot about Rashard Crawford, to be honest with you. I've never seen him play, so I'm going to tap out on him. But Gleyber Torres and Billy McKinney are the two pulls by the Yankee organization. And basically, before Clint Frazier came in, Gleyber Torres was at the top. Now he's the number two prospect. And Billy McKinney is probably seven or eight in that system now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I leave the prospect thoughts pretty much to you, Rich. That's your area of expertise, and I'm certainly not going to challenge anything that you've said. The only thing that sort of surprised me is that's a good haul for a rental, isn't it? A real good haul.
I mean, for a two-month rental, Tim, that's impressive. And let's go down and skip the notes a little bit, not go in order, because I'm pretty sure that that Neil Huntington said, and I heard this somewhere along the way, we won't move Mark Melancon unless we get a Aroldis Chapman type of deal. I'm pretty sure he said something to that effect. Now, again, Felipe Rivera is a nice pitcher. He can throw 100 miles an hour, Taylor, or 98. Taylor Hearn can throw 100 miles an hour. He's an arm strength guy. That ain't even close to getting Gleyber Torres and Billy McKinney. I mean, were you a little disappointed in what Pittsburgh got back?
Well, you know, we're talking about a team that's supposedly looking at chasing down a playoff spot, correct?
They're done. They're not chasing down any. They're not chasing down a playoff spot because Andrew McCutchen is not Andrew McCutchen anymore.
Well, no. You're looking at a team that is potentially contending for a playoff spot, and they trade their elite closer for two prospects. Now, what does that say?
I know. I don't understand. I'm asking you to explain. First of all, in full kind of accuracy, Felipe Rivera is no longer a prospect because he's in the major leagues, but he's a young guy. I mean, I actually think it's nice because these are, because Melanson's going to be there for two more months, and he's not going to, you know, he's not going to re-sign with them. It'll cost too much to him. So I get the business side of it, but you're right. If they're trying to win, why get rid of an elite closer? And let's face it, he's an elite closer.
Well, yeah, he's one of the top five in the game. And hey, you know, I however good these two players will be, they ain't helping right now. There's, you know, there's no way. Are they going to take the place of a Mark Melanson in that everyday lineup? Not a chance.
Yeah, but the one thing that the Pittsburgh organization has been, I mean, if you think of it, who is Jason Grilley? No one ever heard of Jason Grilley. No one ever heard of, I guess, Mark Melanson. He was with the Boston organization. He was kind of a seventh inning guy. He became an elite closer. He learned the sinker, and the rest, as they say, is history. And Joel Hanrahan, remember him, Tim?
Oh,
he was,
yeah,
great when he was in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I mean, and had Tommy John surgery, was unfortunately never heard from again. But they're able to get guys to pitch better. That they, I mean, Francisco Liriano, it goes on and on and on. So I wouldn't be surprised if these two guys in the long run are nice little pools, but they're far from Gleyber Torres and a Billy McKinney.
Yeah, we're talking apples and oranges, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's just going to be another long fall for fans of the Pittsburgh organization.
And it's a shame because I know you are owner of Gregory Polanco, and you and I are huge fans. It is fun to see somebody break out right before our eyes. He's hit his 15th home run today. This is a guy that's probably going to be 22 to 25 home runs, 15-plus stolen bases. Tim, this is the guy we've been waiting for, and it's happening.
Well, yeah, it's happening. But, what, 2 years from now, the same thing will be happening to Polanco as is happening with Melanson? Is that a fair estimation?
Well, he just signed that team-friendly deal. So he signed through 2021?
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember what his deal was. So, okay, yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, because they kept him up then, right? Okay, yeah, right. Memory coming back.
Andrew,
recall.
There it is. So what did you say, Timmy? Your memory's not great. Or no, your memory's great, but your recall isn't. That's your out.
Well, yeah, my recall is finally kicking in on that one, Rich.
Exactly. So it is fascinating to see Polanco doing it. And Marte, Tim, is already there. It's Andrew McCutchen that's been the problem offensively for that team. And, I mean, we haven't talked a lot about him, but fantasy owners didn't like him in the draft. I mean, he went from a top five fantasy pick to late first round, early second round. So the fantasy industry had him pegged that he was no longer Andrew McCutchen. And this year has proven he's either injured or something, Tim.
Well, yeah. Well, where is he next year? Third, fourth round, maybe fifth round. Would you take Scotty Piscotty or McCutchen? Who would you take first, Rich, if you were drafting
Tim,
for next?
I haven't looked at Scotty Piscotty. I haven't taken a look, which is very funny, by the way. I haven't I haven't taken a look at his stat line and figured him out, but, I mean, just on name recognition, I'm going with Andrew McCutchen, but you're probably going to tell me Piscotty's obviously having a much better year, but the upside is there. I got to find out why McCutchen isn't McCutchen anymore.
Well, yeah, you know, you got to get out of a guy that is going to hit mid-20s home run, you know, with the mid-20s home run power. It was the combination of the power and speed that drove his value in our game. And I haven't looked lately, but the speed isn't there, Rich.
I know. And the contact ability, striking out a lot more. I don't know if he's trying to yoke the ball. I don't know if he's hurt. But I do know it's not been good, and people that drafted him, Tim, as their first-round draft pick or very late, aren't happy. This is a guy that just won the MVP not too long ago.
Well, yeah, I own him in DL, too, and he hasn't done anything to thrill me lately. The only consolation there is I've got Polanco, so it sort of eases the pain a little bit.
What's weird, so, Timmy, last year, I'm looking at Baseball America. Last year, 566 at-bats. I don't have plate appearances. 113 strikeouts and 98 walks. This
right.
year, in 386 at-bats, 104 strikeouts. And here's the shocker, 35 walks. I mean, where's the plate discipline gone? He's swinging at everything. Why is he swinging at everything?
Well, yeah, good question. Protection in the lineup, but again, that's a pretty drastic swing. Like that is huge. When you see that walk rate dipping that low, I don't have an answer, but you can be guaranteed that somebody will be trying to search for it this offseason. And until he manages to get that walk rate back, man, he's going to take a real tumble in drafts next year.
But usually, Tim, walk rates, usually they improve with age. I mean, it's just, you know, your eye gets better. I mean, you've seen repetition. What's weird is back to 2010, Tim, this is when he was 23 years old, 70
yep.
walks, then 89 walks, and 70 walks, 78, 84, 98, 35. Now, that will probably turn into 50, given his rate, or 50. It's a huge tail off.
Well, yeah, it's almost 50%. You're right. It's
yeah.
huge.
And everything is going down with him. My guess is the speed, Tim, he went from 27 to 18 to 11 last year. So the speed is probably now something that's a distant memory. Looks like he'll still hit low 20s home run, but if that's going to come with a 240 batting average, you're right. That's probably not a fourth round pick. That's probably something a lot less than that.
Well, yeah, fourth round on speculation, he bounces back. 8th to 10th
yeah.
round based on current level of production.
Sure. So who closes in Pittsburgh, Tim?
Watson. Watson's got the gig. They've already announced it, done like dinner. And, you know, based on his track record, I think he'll do fine. If he doesn't, Naftali Feliz is sitting chomping at the bit, ready to assume the role. But I'm fairly convinced that Watson will get it done.
Now, I own Naftali Feliz in several leagues, and including the aforementioned NFBC. Will I see any saves at all?
I think it's possible, but I really think Watson's going to nail it, and hold down the job. I would say 3-4 maybe over the duration of the season, based on off days, rest days, etc.
Yeah. That's really disappointing for me personally. I mean, and, you know, they said, well, Watson's been waiting. It's his time. Well, come on. How about consulting Rich Wilson and know that he's got him on his team? I don't have Watson on any team. How about giving it Naftali Feliz to him? That's the logic they should use.
Well, you know, Rich, I slapped him a six-pack of Cherry Coke because I own Watson in two leagues. So you were just too late with the attempted bribery. They went in my direction. What can I say?
So, Timmy, how long does it take Papa Bond to go nuts? I mean, this is not going to sit well with him.
Well, he's a team player. It has to sit well, right?
Oh, yeah. He's a real team player.
Well, yeah, my other answer was, you know, Rich, we've been friends a long time, but that's a clown question.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Papa Bond has not been good recently, Tim, but before then, he was really good. I mean, I almost think he's got a bit of an argument here. It's like, oh, wait a minute, what did I do that was so wrong? And I know his ERA is 4.41. I kind of get that. But it just blew up here in the last few weeks.
Yeah, my suggestion, Mr. Crotch Grabber, is dial 1-800-DREW-STORIN. He'll help.
Yeah. On May 31st, he had a 2.91 ERA. And then it just went bad, Timmy. It just went bad. It was actually after he had the injury, he came back and he wasn't the same player. A 256 ERA sitting on July 23rd, and it just blew up here in the last 2 weeks, and he loses the gig.
Yeah, and obviously Washington has lost confidence in his ability to get it done, and that's based on his level of performance. So, excuse me. You can't blame the Nats for wanting to resolve what they perceive to be a weakness.
I totally agree. Tim, why don't you grab a quick little soda or just get something to drink since you're a little parched there, and we will break for a quick little commercial break. Why don't we do that as soon as I find out where that is? And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we'll finish up with our discussion on the trade deadline. As the great Tim McLeod continues to hock up a lung, Timmy, are you doing okay there, pal? You need to go for another commercial break?
Hey, hello.
Hey, Tim, you okay there?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. And I've been slugging back the cherry coke pretty heavy, and a little bit went down the wrong pipe, Rich.
Okay, I thought you had a cold or something, Tim.
No shots, but I mean, lungs were not made to absorb fluids, as I'm finding out repeatedly.
The Blue Jays, Tim, now this is up in your neck of the woods, so maybe you got more information on what the heck they were thinking. They acquired Melvin Upton from the Padres for minor leaguer right-handed pitcher Hansel Rodriguez. He's a 19-year-old from the Dominican. He's primarily an arm strength guy, Tim. The good news is that the Jays only have to pay $5 million of his salary, so it was clearly a salary dump from the Padres standpoint. But how much playing time is he going to get up in Toronto?
Well, have you witnessed the way Jose Bautista and Michael Saunders play the outfield? It's brutal. I think as a defensive replacement, we're going to see him in basically every game. Now, I know that doesn't really help
That doesn't help people in our game.
No. I think it was a great move for the Jays. I think it helps shore up those outfield positions, especially in the latter innings. As far as our game is concerned, if you still own them and didn't take advantage of the hot start and trade them, you're not going to see much down the stretch, I don't think.
I'd like you to tweet at us or even go to the Facebook page. If you were able to trade Melvin Upton sometime this year and got something worthwhile, please let us know who that is. And if you could, give us documented proof that you were able to get something. Tim, I can't believe anybody got anybody from Melvin. Everybody would go, look, it's B.J. Upton. It's Melvin Upton. Please, stop it.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Somebody out there did. I'd bet my life on it, Rich. Somebody out there got either draft picks in a dynasty league or – whatever. Somebody got something for Upton based on that start. And if they didn't and they still own him now, well, hey, ride it out. Enjoy the numbers he gives you as a defensive replacement. And he'll start the odd game, but we're not going to see what we saw in the first half. The opportunity simply won't be there in Toronto.
Will he be starting any even games, though, Tim? That's the real question everybody wants to know.
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I'm going to say... eventually Saunders will trip over a divot, waterhead, sprinkler system or whatever, and he'll get the odd start in there. But it'll all even out in the end, Rich.
Let's keep with the Padres, Tim. We'll just skip down the notes a little bit. The Braves acquire Matt Kemp from the San Diego Padres for Hector Oliveira, who, Tim, might go to jail. I mean, he's waiting some kind of decision. I don't know the whole thing there. And the Padres are also going to pay $10 to $12 million to help offset the cost there. And then, of course, the Padres also, as soon as they got Hector Oliveira, they DFA'd him. And apparently, if he does go to jail, then they don't have to pay for the salary. So clearly, the Braves wanted to get rid of Oliveira, and the Padres wanted to get rid of Kemp. But my question for you, first of all, what did you think of the deal?
What it said to me was that when AJ goes into rebuild mode, he ain't playing around. It also said to me that the Padres don't want Matt Kemp in that clubhouse when all the young kids start marching through their system.
I think that's a brilliant observation. Let me ask you a question, Tim. You've been working for, you're 58 years old, so you've been working for 40 years or close to it, correct?
I started working when I was 13, so yeah, 45 years.
40 plus. So if you were to, as a businessman, if you were to make some calls and put the wrong product in and it completely destroyed the revenue, the profitability for your company in your particular region for quite a period of time, do you think you'd be given the opportunity to simply sell everything that you just brought in at pennies on the dollar and say, oh, I'm going to start over again? Would you be allowed to do that?
I'd be looking for a new job before you could say
exactly. All of us would, Tim. That's what's amazing. I mean, it's like he makes these terrible decisions. We all saw it 100 miles away, and he gets to fix it.
Well, yeah. No, it's we work in the real world, Rich, one in which we are expected to produce results. AJ doesn't, they don't, you know, the baseball is not the real world. It's this fantasy world out there that we know nothing about, and to compare it to, you know, our stock in life, you just can't do it. It's apples and oranges.
It's funny. You would hope most employers would allow you a mistake here and there, but just like a bushel of mistakes here, Tim. It's just remarkable that he still has this job. I guess ownership probably told him and approved everything, and they feel some ownership in all of that. But it is remarkable that he's able to dump all this salary and now simply rebuild.
Well, yeah, and let's face it, for the next month or so, if they have more than one bobblehead night, it'll be a Will Myers repeat evening.
Yeah, Will Myers, I mean, that's probably the one guy they won't trade. I mean, and for all the bad deals he made, getting Will Myers, I mean, I know he gave up Trey Turner and Joe Ross, which is tough to give up. I mean, Will Myers has been, I mean, Tim, that's a top three fantasy draft pick next year, isn't it?
In our midseason mock, I drafted him in the second round.
There you go.
I don't have any problems with that at all, based on the power-speed combination.
It's a poor man's Goldie, right?
Well, he's not far off the pace, other than the fact that he hasn't established it over any period of time. He is going to go early next year. There's no doubt about it. It's just rather unfortunate that, lost in this whole mess, we get to witness, you know, the stellar work of Alexi Amarista and company for the next 30 days.
Help me with this, Tim. Amarista was playing center field. I think it was Alex Dickerson. I forgot who was playing. And Jankowski is out there. I mean, what the heck, Tim? Where is Hunter Renfro? Where is Manny Margot? I mean, I don't. Why aren't these guys up?
Well, because they have to pay for Kemp's contract, right? They can't be starting the clock any earlier than they have to, right?
I mean, I guess, Timmy, but I mean, I know at least Manny Margot has got to be ready. I mean, it doesn't look like he's got much to prove. And, yeah,
no,
I guess they don't want to start the clock, but, I mean, at some point, it's like, really? Come on, bring these guys up.
Well, you know, if you look at the lineups, okay, I'm convinced that their current AAA team is better than their major league team. Doesn't that say it all?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you've mentioned that before, Timmy. I want to get this lineup right, because I did look at it. I couldn't remember. Amarista was playing left. Jankowski was playing center field. And who was playing right field?
Hey, Christian Betancourt in the outfield for a game last week, Rich.
You're kidding, really? Oh, Blash.
No, I kid
Jabari
you.
Blash.
I think it was the game that Dickerson hurt himself in. I think Betancourt ended up playing part of the game in the outfield, if I'm not mistaken.
Your good buddy Jabari Blash, you have in your waiver wire pickup, him and his 143 batting average was playing right field. I mean, unless they bring up, I mean, they would look a lot better with Manny Margot playing center field. Let's put Alex. Why don't they put up the AAA? Alex Dickerson in left and Hunter Renfro on right field. That's what they should do.
Yeah, I totally agree. Would you pay $100 for a ticket behind home plate to watch the Padres?
I know, here it is. Jankowski, center field, number two, Amarista. Will Myers, that's the guy that you want to go see. Detlef Schrempf is, that's an old basketball reference to him. He's playing second base, and everybody's in love with him. Jabari Blash, right field. Bethancourt with his .250 batting average. Jose Rondon, I didn't even know he was up, so he's playing shortstop. Rosales, a guy we used to play for the Oakland Athletics. He's at I mean, it's a horrible team.
You're being too kind, Rich. Way too kind.
It's a horrible team. It really is bad.
Well, you know, I think they're looking up at the Braves, okay? What does that tell you?
Yeah, maybe they want to lose as many games as they possibly can. I mean, you know, that's a bad team. I didn't even realize how bad that is.
Well, yeah, and you know what? A month ago, who was Mr. Schimpf?
Yeah,
next to Myers, he's probably their next best offensive player.
He's not the real deal. This is a guy that's just, he's going to regress. He's like a 28-year-old rookie. I mean, rarely do you see this.
Well, yeah, exactly. But he's got to be for real, though, because I checked 2-3 different sites, and the numbers are all the same. They're real.
So that's our San Diego Padres discussion. The Giants, I mean, let's move into that. They acquired Edward Nunez, which I kind of like as a, from a baseball standpoint, and they traded him for the minor leaguer lefty, Alberto Mejia, who I've seen pitch when he was with the Richmond Squirrels. How much value does Nunez, who's played really well when he was with the Twins, how much value does lose going to the Giants? Is he startable anymore in a weekly league?
Yeah, I don't think he loses a whole lot of value at all. I mean, he's still driving in runs. I don't think he was a 30 home run guy in the first place, but he's going to run, he's going to steal bases, and he's going to do something at the top of that order that Denard Span hasn't been able to do for a while, and hopefully that stay healthy.
But where's he going to play? I know he's playing for Brandon Crawford as he's been injured up a little bit, so if it gives him the DL, he's got some time. But where's he going to play?
Third base. Outfield, shortstop, wherever. Most of his time, I think, will be at third base.
Well, you know he's not going to play first base, clearly, because Brandon Belt's there. Of course, future Hall of Famer, they wouldn't be that silly. But do you think he'll get enough? So he played shortstop, third base today, and Gillespie, I guess they don't really have much at third base, do they?
Not since they gave up on Pablo, no. They haven't had much at third base. And you know what? Hey, the glove's terrible. Okay, defensively he is not going to be an asset. Offensively he will, and they knew that going in, and they're prepared to live with it. So I don't think he's gonna be lacking for playing time at all.
It's awesome. Mad Bum pinch hits for Kane today, and then Samardzija runs for Mad Bum, and that's so awesome. That's great.
Oh, well, you got to love it. You got a double. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty amazing stuff. And, you know, the Giants have got a good team. Matt Cain, can you believe 5 innings of no-hit ball? That's amazing.
Yeah, well, as a former owner of Matt Cain, I'm not going back there. I'm just
no,
not. So.
Neither am I. I can be a fan from a distance. So.
Talking about going for it, Timmy, your good buddy Jeff Loria, whatever you want to say about him, the man is going for it. He acquires Andrew Kashner, Colin Ray, which looks like he might not be doing so well because he's going for a MRI on his elbow, which isn't good. And they
get
minor
league. Yeah, they put him on DL. It was the best 3 innings they've gotten out of a starter this year, Rich.
They also pick up right-hand pitcher Teyron Guerrero, who pitched in the Futures game last year. Big, tall guy, throws 98 miles an hour, big guy. And the Padres get first baseman Josh Naylor, who I'm not a big fan of. He's just a big, hulking kind of guy. Right-handed pitcher Jarrett Kosar, which I think had his crowning moment in 2011, I think it was, at the Futures game where, remember, he was with the Philadelphia Phillies and he was lights out in his one inning. And then the Phillies kind of flipped him for, we should do a guess the player on that. It was Jonathan Singleton, Domingo Santana, somebody else in the Hunter Pence, oh, and Jarrett Cozart in the Hunter Pence deal. They got Hunter Pence and the Astros got those 3 guys. That was pretty remarkable. And they get Carter Capps, who's recovering from Tommy John surgery. And I think the big player there was the right-handed pitcher Luis Castillo, but we'll get to that in a minute. Kashner, Tim, tell me about that pickup. And he's got that first round pedigree. The guy's big. He throws hard. I mean, but he's never really lived up to first round pedigree.
Well, no, and now you can't recognize him. He had to shave.
Oh, he did? I didn't realize that.
Well, yeah, I didn't either until somebody on the Facebook page pointed it out. Miami has a no facial hair policy, so he's looking like a new man today. Hopefully he pitches like one, too.
The strikeouts have gone down. He's walking over 3 per 9. He's giving up way too many home runs. Sometimes when I do over the offseason, I'll do those players that look like they might actually correct the following season. Andrew Kashner is one of those guys with a high strikeout rate, a reasonable walk rate, just giving up too many home runs. And what's happened in San Diego, nobody knows, but that's become a lot more hitter's park than it has been over the last many years. The last 2 years, Tim, that's no longer an exclusive pitching park. So he might actually get a bump from an opportunity. He's definitely going to get a better defensive team with Miami. I kind of like Kashner a little bit. Am I crazy?
Well, there's different stages and levels of insanity.
Great.
Rachel.
All right. Okay. I appreciate that, Tim.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to be clear on that one. My problem with Cashner is we've never seen anything sustained, okay? He's been one of these guys that every year, like you mentioned, the potential is there, okay? You can see it. And he's plumb worn out his welcome with me. I agree that that same potential is there with the move to Miami. You know, he's going to have some offensive support that isn't offensive, something he didn't have in San Diego. You know, the opportunity is there, but I've just heard it and seen it for so long, it's sort of blocked out. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, okay, here we go again, right? And at some point in time, maybe it will happen. And I think the circumstances are right for it to happen, but I just can't do it. I can't believe it. I've seen too much of the other right now that it's going to take a series of solid outings for me to be convinced that he can be an asset.
I think he can, Timmy. I'm call me crazy. I'm at so how many levels of insanity are there? 5. I'm at level 3, Tim. I'm at level 3 insanity.
I'd give you number 2. How much did you spend? Did you spend more or less than you spent on Derek Barton on cash?
Oh, that hurts, Tim. I don't think that's fair, Tim. I do not want to go back to Derek Barton.
sorry, that was a cheap shot. I apologize.
No. Definitely no. I was the one that brought it up. You have every right to anytime you want to bring up the Derek Barton. Just so everybody knows who's new to the show, I spent $32 on Derek Barton. And the day before Fab ran, he batted 9th in the lineup when he was with the Oakland Athletics. And I couldn't believe I did that, Tim. The fact that I spent 30 – not that the fact that I picked him up in Fab, that's bad enough, but I spent $32 on that. I can't even begin to believe what went through my head.
Well, you know, if I documented all of the players that I've spent more than 10 bucks on that didn't pan out – I could probably field about 6 teams, Rich. So, you know, I wouldn't feel bad about Mr. Icy Barton.
Jerry Kosar, Tim.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get a chance. Any thoughts about him, or is it just a guy that's never going to live up to the hype that he had in that one season? That's really where the hype was.
Yeah, it was all fueled by that one year. I don't see it. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but you know one thing for sure. He's going to get opportunities. And I watch very, very carefully that first outing or two.
Yeah. I'm not a believer, Tim. I never liked the delivery. It's got a lot of effort in it. So he's a pass for me, but I'm sure somebody will you know, spend a buck on him. And, you know, it's probably worth a buck, but don't expect much. Jimmy, let's talk about, real quickly, these two prospects, Naylor and Castillo. Naylor was the Marlins' number one pick last year.
Mm-hmm.
Big power potential, but the game is really, really raw. He's only got 9 home runs in low A, which is okay because some of those Midwest League, I think that's where he is. No, he's probably down in the Sally League. Sometimes those – tough to hit a lot of home runs in those low A leagues. But the big question is ability to control the strike zone. He's not very patient. So it's a nice pull by the Padres, but they need to really temper their expectations there. So and then finally, it's Luis Castillo, who has been one of the guys, Tim, that's had a real breakout this year. He started off as a reliever, but he was moved to the starting rotation. He's got a double plus fastball, a really good slider. Still, the changeup hasn't come. I think he could be a pretty high-end back-of-the-bullpen guy, potential closer, but he's trying to be converted into a starter. So, but to me, I like Luis Castillo a little bit more than Naylor for the return.
That sounds good to me. Both are, what, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road?
Yeah, Castillo probably maybe next year for him if they move him back to the bullpen.
Right.
Naylor's probably 2 years away. And again, I mean, who knows? I've heard that the Padres situation is very temporary. It's something to do with the humidity there and some wind current changes and that it's all going to reverse, that nothing has fundamentally happened to the ballpark. They have moved in the fences, but people tell me supposedly in the know that has nothing to do with it. No one really knows why the offense is picked up there.
Well, yeah, the only thing that jumped to my mind was the fact that they did make that field a bit smaller, and has that made that much of a difference?
I don't know. If people know more about it, please tweet at us, go to the Facebook page and tell us about it, because we do need to get the bottom of this, Timmy, because it's always been you buy San Diego Padres pitchers and you never buy a hitter, but Matt Kemp, Will Myers, even Melvin Upton have proven that wrong.
Well, yeah, and our buddy at second base with his 8 home runs in, 10 days or whatever. You can hit the ball out of that park now.
Let's get to the last couple of trades here, Tim, and then we'll move over to your waiver wire. The Indians acquire Andrew Miller from the Yankees for minor league outfield Clint Frazier, left-hand pitcher Justus Sheffield, who is no relations to Gary Sheffield, by the way, right-hand pitcher Ben Heller, and J.P. Fahrenreisen, which I've never seen him pitch. These are the two young kids that they're really, really hard. And again, the first thing I mentioned here, Timmy, again, we talked about it already. You as a Cody Allen, and you got to be really bummed. I mean, you're like, what?
Well, yeah, the only consolation is that in all this mess of all the closers, my three principal leagues that I'm doing well and my focus is in, I didn't own Cody Allen in any of them, so I didn't take a hit there. But, in DL2 I've got Allen, but I've also got 5 other closers, so I'm not, it's not a huge concern. But if you are a Cody Allen owner, you best ought to be heading to the waiver wire tonight and doing some serious searching.
All right, Tim, 10-team leagues, do you keep Cody Allen on your roster?
With a 6-man bench, I would say yes.
What about those ESPN leagues and those Yahoo leagues with 3 and 4 bench slots?
No.
12-team leagues. So if you're going to keep him in a traditional six bench spot with 10 teams, you're going to keep him in 12 and 15 teams.
Yeah.
But a lighter bench, you're probably going to move on.
Well, yeah, and what I would do is I would hold off where you've got the bench space. Hold off for a week or two and just see how things shake down. I still, in the back of my mind, have this gut feeling that, if the Indians are in a situation and it's the 8th inning, okay, and they've got 2 real tough left-handed batters coming to the dish, I don't see where they won't, or at least the smart move is to bring in a guy like Miller and get through the heart of the lineup, get those tough bats out, and go to Allen in the 9th. So I know they're saying that Miller is the closer, but if you look at it practically, the effective situation would be to use Miller in the best possible situation, use Allen in the best possible situation. So I don't know if I would give up on him right away, simply because my gut feeling is they'd be a better team if they didn't take that conventional, you are the closer and you pitch in the 9th inning route. And I don't know what Tito will do.
That's interesting. It's a great thought there, Timmy. Obviously, Betances gets the closer gig, so people that have been holding on to him, congratulations for your perseverance. Obviously, if he's on the waiver wire, Tim, you got to go pick him up. But the Yankees, again, not to give the Yankees too many kudos, I love what they did bringing back Tyler Clippard, who's not been great, but he's a better 8th inning guy than it seems like than he's a closer. And I thought that was a really smart move because they did give up Vincente Campos, who was the other guy in the Michael Pineda, Jesus Montero trade, had Tommy John surgery, blah, blah, blah. It's an okay little pitcher there, but it's a nice pull for the Diamondbacks, and I think a nice pull for the Yankees and a really smart play for them.
Well, yeah, I had Adam Warren in my waiver wire article, and he got ditched as soon as they made the move for Clippard, because for a while, it was looking like Adam Warren, maybe Severino, were going to be the setup guys in New York. And as a setup guy, that puts you one notch away from closing. So that increases their value. But with Clippard moving back and moving into the 8th inning, the Yankees actually have, I think, a very, very good bullpen still, even with moving Miller and Chapman. There's nothing wrong with, Betances, Clippard, Warren, and probably Severino. That's not that's four pretty solid relievers. A lot of teams would be happy with that bullpen.
I agree with you, Tim. I think that's well said. Now, one of the more interesting fantasy dilemmas here is with Tyler Clipper being moved from the Diamondbacks. Who was the closer? I thought it would be Daniel Hudson, but he's been completely awful the last month. I mean, I think he's got a 6 or 7 ERA, and it looks like somebody named Jake Barrett. And Tim, I got to say, I don't know a whole lot about him. I know he's in your waiver wire article. He looks like the guy. Tell our listeners about Jake Barrett.
He's getting it done. Has been for a while. Got the save last night. Chip Hale says he's going to be their guy moving forward. So Jake Barrett is one of those closers that people will be chasing this week.
How much should we chase, Tim? Is this something that if you've got $300 out of your $1,000 budget left, FAB budget left, are you going to put it all on Jake Barrett?
Well, I think there's about 5 or 6 choices. And I think I covered most of them in the waiver wire, but there's a whole slew of choices and options this week when you look at building and improving upon your bullpen and chasing saves. And I think what you've got to do is sit back and see who's available in your league. Go to the guys that, like Watson is another one. You know, I'm sure Watson was not owned. I think his ownership level, off the top of my head, was somewhere around 20%. No, you want to spend it on Barrett. You want to spend it on Watson. There's 3 or 4 guys out there, Bedrosian, that are all in a situation where saves are either there or could be there imminently. Sit back, make what you believe to be the best informed decision you can on who you want to chase, and then go for it. Wind it up and spend your money.
All right, so here we go, Tammy. Get your pencil. You got your pencil. I'm going to give you five names in your waiver wire article. Tony Watson,
okay.
Jones. And again, this is tough. I don't know why the baseball community, Tim, doesn't care. They just don't care about us fantasy owners. They should have finished this at 4:00 today and not pushed it to Monday. Don't you agree?
Yeah, because what's going to happen is, I haven't checked. Is there an early game tomorrow?
I can check right now. Let's see here, Tim. Do we have any dialing? Let's go to August 1st, right, is tomorrow? The first game is 7:10 between the Kansas City and the Tampa Bay Rays.
11 in the morning.
Seven in the evening.
Oh, okay, so there's no afternoon games. I thought maybe the Jays might have an afternoon game, being it's a Canadian holiday, eh? That's why I wasn't sure on.
They're not even playing. Oh, yes, they're playing at Houston, Tim, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. In that case, I won't cuss out Major League Baseball too bad, because at least we get all the waiver wire moves in before before we have to set our rosters. But we're not going to have a chance to bid on some of those players until the following week, which doesn't do us any favors.
So for people who are running FAB tonight, the NFBC and everybody else, Timmy.
Right.
So here we go. So we got so some of these are speculative. You got Nate Jones, the aforementioned Tony Watson, Hector Nerius, who's also in your waiver wire, I think is the pickup if Jenmar gets sent. I'm going to say also you've got Cam Bedrosian and Jake Barrett, Tim. 1 to 5, and throw in Kenny Giles. 1 to 6. Give me the one that you're going to spend the most money on, and who the one that you're just going to throw a buck on.
Most money is Watson. Least money would be Jones.
Okay. Second money would be
Barrett.
Barrett. Okay. So let's just. So we got left. We've got Cam Bedrosian. We've got Kenny Giles. And Hector Nerius, how would you order those three?
Okay, the three that are left, I would order them Bedrosian, Giles, and Nerius.
Okay, so at the bottom of the list, you got Nerius and Nate Jones. And the reason you have them is because their closer has not been moved.
That is correct. Yep, and the reason that I have Bedrosian ahead of Giles is because Houston Street has been sucking it up big time. And I think even if Street isn't moved at the deadline, I think Bedrosian takes the job over at some point in time, even with Street still in that lineup. And Giles is purely speculative based on Will Harris's ability to get it done. So he'd be my fourth.
That's great stuff, Timmy. I hope everybody got that. Again, rewind and listen to it again and write those names down, because I think Timmy is really on to something. I do think Jenmar Gomez should be moved. I like Neris a little bit more than you do, Tim. I think he should be. I think he should be bought, because you can still get him for not a whole lot of money. And I think I think he's going to get the gig this week.
Well, yeah. If you're looking at it in terms of this would be in terms of how I rank these guys, but let's face it, Watson and Barrett are going to command the money. Bedrosian would probably be, and Giles, 3-4 on that list. I think you can get Neris and Jones at a bargain basement price, and if you got the room, now is the time to spend a buck or two on those guys. So what I would do if I was looking for trying to acquire two closers, I would spend big bucks on Watson and Barrett, focus on one of those two, spend the big bucks, and then I'd throw a couple bucks down on the collection of Bedrosian, Giles, Neris, Jones, with a focus being on, you know, Neris, Jones. If you know, if you're looking at pure speculation, yeah, like what? Why are they keeping Robertson? You know, why would the Phillies? Here's an even better question. Why would the Phillies keep Jenmar Gomez? Is he going to be their closer long term? I don't see.
No.
It.
So yeah. High on that guy. So, again, back to Jake Barrett. This guy throws 96 – average fastball is 96 miles an hour, throws a really good slider as well. So he's a two-pitch guy. That's what you need to be an effective back-of-the-bullpen guy. And given how bad Daniel Hudson's been – and they've been talking about moving him, but he's been so bad, nobody wants to give him anything. So I do think Jake Barrett is a guy that people should go pretty hard on, Timmy.
Yeah, I agree. What are the options after Barrett? I don't think there are any, really. Are there?
I'd have to look on Roto World. Let me
Burgos,
do that, Timmy.
Maybe is he still there?
I don't know. It's like Brad Ziegler. No, he's not there anymore. I mean, it's that's another organization, Tim. That I don't know how. I guess because he's they've got Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa, and those guys are probably going to be given a very, very long leash, but man, they've made some bad moves. That Shelby Miller thing, oh my word, disaster.
Well, yeah, and now they're trying to move Shelby Miller. Good luck, guys. What a mess is that? They've got probably right now seven outfielders, okay, that they can wheel out there every day. Tomas is killing the ball. Peralta's coming back from injury, and they got Ricky Weeks and Michael Bourne there. Like, why?
I know. Jake Barrett, Daniel Hudson, Enrique Burgos, Randall Delgado still kicking around. Dominic Leon, Adam Lowen, oh my gosh, he was a prospect forever. Steve Hathaway and Evan Marshall, I don't even think they're on the major league roster. So there's not a whole lot there after Jake Barrett. So he would seem to be fairly secure.
Yeah, I would think he's going to have to totally fall apart. I think they also brought up Evan Marshall. Remember him? I think I had high hopes for him about 2 years ago, and then he lost the ability to find the strike zone.
Yeah, I did mention him, Timmy. He was ninth on the list here. I didn't think he was up, but it looks like he is. So anyway, let's quickly just go through that return. Clint Frazier is the big name, Tim. Tons of bat speed, future plus power. Everybody knows the guy, the redhead. He's got a little bit of speed as well. He was made my top 50. I forgot where, maybe 20, 25. He's not that far away, and I think he could help very soon. He goes to the top of the Yankees prospect list. Justin Sheffield has a great arm, but he's 5'11". He might be 5'10". I don't think he's a starter, but he's probably a bullpen arm, but he's been used as a starter. And, again, Heller and Ferry Rizon are really live arms, 100 miles an hour. And for Heller, and he could be in New York this season, Timmy. So he's the guy that if you really, really wanted to speculate after Betances, it could be Heller. He's got the closer kind of stuff. So anyway, so those are those guys. And then finally, right before the show, Timmy, the Orioles, in another brilliant Orioles pitcher move,
yes.
They acquired Wade Miley, which – Look, Wade Miley had a great game a couple of days ago. 9 strikeouts, I think, 1 earned run. He pitched brilliantly. Tim, I am an owner, was an owner of Wade Miley. I've lived this. This is a bad pitcher, right? I mean, just he's a ground ball dude that if the ball's not hit on the ground and people aren't picking it up, he will blow up big time. And he goes from the AL West to the AL, excuse me, the NL West to AL West to the AL East. I think he's going to get destroyed like he did in Boston. I think it's a horrible pickup for the Orioles.
Well, yeah, he's at the end of the day, he's still Wade Miley, and he'll fit in well with Ubaldo, won't he?
It's terrible, Tim. I mean, and Gallardo. I mean, I don't look. Tillman's having a really nice year, and he pitched well today. I think they managed to come back and win on the 13th inning. But I mean, after Tillman, it's terrible. Wade Miley might be the second best starter now. Well, we're going to get into Dylan Bundy in a minute, but this is a traditional 4-5 guy. This is who Wade Miley is, and they just don't have enough in their minor league system, Tim, to really go out and get a top quality starter. They just don't.
You don't think Chance Sisko is the guy that people are chomping at the bit to grab?
He has 2 home runs this year, Tim.
Yes, but they were quality home runs, right?
Quality home runs. The guy I still like, Timmy, and I got brutalized on Prospect 361 when I talked about Dylan Bundy still being a top prospect. Tim, I don't know if you saw the game this past week. I mean, he was, I think it was 5 or 6 no-hit innings and just bringing it. And he tired out, gave up 2 home runs, and wound up, you know, with not a great bottom stat line. But I watched that game, and it was hot. He was just sweating profusely, hitting 96 miles an hour. His secondary stuff still isn't really sharp yet. But I really like Dylan Bundy, and they'll probably blow out his arm again because they're the Orioles. But he should be rostered, man. This is a guy that's pitching well.
Yeah, what you're saying is definitely come next spring, he's going to be a bench stash for you, isn't he? Late round pick.
More than that, I've got Dylan Bundy, I think, on every league already, and just because I was putting my money where my mouth is, and you know, over the last 6 weeks, this guy has been really, really good, and nobody's talking about him.
Well, and let's face it, when you look at the rest of that Baltimore rotation, really, really good doesn't quite cut it, does it?
Kevin Gausman, Tim, you know, I think he's falling into who he is. He's a number 3. He's okay. Dylan Bundy has a chance to be more than that. And, you know, he could do something if Gausman could pitch better. Bundy turns out to be better than anybody thought he was. And Tillman, they still could stay in there, but I mean Bundy, he probably should only start another 5 or 6 times, and then they should probably just call it a year. But they're not going to do that with him. Probably just again throw him out there until he falls over.
Well, yeah, that's unfortunate because with everything that he's been through, the curve should be rather slow at this stage, I would think, of his career, building up towards say next spring.
I agreed. Now, Tim, to tell you how much the industry thinks of Wade Miley, the Mariners got some dude named Ariel Miranda back. And, Tim, I'm supposed to know everybody in the minor leagues. I have no idea who this guy is. I looked him up, and he's a Cuban dude that they signed last year. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he's the next coming of Pedro Martinez, but I've never heard of the guy.
Well, yeah, it sounds like they were just trying to get around waiving their Miranda rights.
Exactly, Timmy. Before we get to the waiver wire, I do want to ask you one question. By the way, that's it for our waiver wire stuff. Tim, a lot of stuff going on, and tomorrow's going to be more. Or if you're up Monday or Tuesday, we might have a quick little podcast, a little half hour to finish up. If you've got time.
I'm off tomorrow, Rich.
Oh,
I got
you
all
might
the
have time tomorrow.
I got all the time in the world. Yeah, I plan on getting up early tomorrow and staying fairly glued to my computer, other than the fact that Kathy has threatened me with a fate worse than death if I don't mow the lawn. She's afraid there's something out there that she can't identify.
That's true.
Yeah, I got to get the lawn done. But other than that, I'm good to go tomorrow. Sure, we have lots of action. You pick a time that works for you, and I'll be there.
Well, we'll call it sometime mid-afternoon, Tim. Let's make sure there's something to talk about. So
I was going to say any time after Oh, probably 4 o'clock Eastern. I think that's the deadline, isn't it?
That's true. Tim, you were talking about yard work. That's the greatest thing about living in this apartment, Tim. There is no yard work. In fact, there's nothing to do. I mean, you just, like, if then something's broken, you call the super and he comes up and fixes it.
Yeah, it's depressing, isn't it? Eh? You don't have to you don't have to call that guy that shows up at your door whose eyes are rolling like sevens on a slot machine as soon as he pulls up to the house, and you don't have to write any checks for the inconvenience.
It's great.
And, yeah, it's a whole new way of life, isn't it, Rich?
It is. I've been here a month, Tim. This marks my 1 month. Wow.
Man, oh man, the time flies fast, don't it?
It does. Timmy, got one question for you.
Okay.
David Dahl versus Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman had a rough first week. Welcome to the major leagues. He had one hit. He finally got it today. David Dahl's batted. I mean, he's just been tearing it up. And that was no games in Coors Field. Hit 2 home runs. Got a stolen base. I don't know what his batting average is, but it's got to be close to 400. He's been on fire. Who do you want for the rest of the season?
Oh, the big question is playing time, at least for me. Dahl's doing everything that was as advertised. But Parra's coming back. Is it going to be some sort of a job share? I'm going to be stubborn on this one. And despite the fact that I do like Dahl, I'm going to go with Bregman. I'm going to stick my neck out and say the kid gets it together and returns better numbers over the next 8 weeks than David Dahl.
I got David Dahl, partially because I knew we were going to take Bregman. I figured I would take David Dahl. We'll make it interesting. So
Sure, yeah. I got to be stubborn every once in a while, and I'm being stubborn on this one. I think
but you're stubborn Irish. I think Bregman's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. But David Dahl, boy, that cat can play. I knew he could when he was drafted. I've watched him through the minor leagues. I've seen him a ton. If Trevor Story can do what he's doing, David Dahl can do a lot better, so, even more than that. So I think David Dahl is a real deal. So I got David Dahl. You got Alex Bregman. Are you ready to book that one, Tim?
Yeah, we can book her, Dano.
All right. Well, let's see. I don't know how we do this. Just rest of the season. Let's include this week, Tim, because it's going to be too impossible otherwise to do that. Throughout the season, why don't we do? We'll just do baseball HQ dollar returned.
Yeah, sure. I'm okay with that.
Good. Tim, we got so many steak and liquor bets going, it doesn't really matter anymore. So.
Well, no, we could solve the world food shortage, okay, with our steak and liquor bets, couldn't we?
By the way, Jose Berrios, Tim, finally,
yes.
I think I read this with all the stuff going on. I think he's getting the call.
Yeah, that's what the rumor mill has. He's going to be called up this week. I can't believe the Twins are giving up on Tommy Malone. I'm shaking my head there, Rich.
I didn't even know he was playing for the Twins. Timmy, I got to tell you, Jose Berrios, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be good this time around. I think it was unfortunate his last time around. I think he's going to be much, much better. So if people have given up on him, Tim, it's time to go out and pick up Jose Berrios.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mentioned him last week in my waiver wire piece, so I didn't bring him up again this week for fear of being overindulgent in my Berrios love, but if he's available, yeah, you got to chase him.
All right, Timmy, let's go through your waiver article. We have gone through a lot of the relief pitchers. We'll simply touch on them, but we'll spend a little bit of time on your other players. We've got Aaron Althea, which I think everybody's forgotten about with the Philadelphia Phillies, Timmy. He's 3-for-4 with a 2-run home run on his first day back. You're just telling everybody to go pick him up.
Well, yeah, I think he's going to get steady playing time. I think the Phillies want to see what this kid can deliver, like a 2017 audition sort of for the next 2 months with Alther. And, you know, the power-speed combo definitely is intriguing. So if he's available and you happen to have an outfield need, go get him.
Jake Barrett and Cam Bedrosian, we've already talked about. I'm with Timmy. Jake Barrett is a guy that you definitely want to spend money on because there is nobody else there, and Daniel Hudson's been terrible. They'll probably move him. Camp Pedroza and Tim, you can't deny what the guy has done. I mean, this is a – they tried to make him a starter, and he's been a great bullpen arm, just like his – I think his dad was a bullpen arm too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah, no, it's man, since he got called up, he has been absolutely, totally lights out. And, you know, Street imploded today, allowed five runs. You know, I know the Angels' season is like the wind, it's gone, but when you're up 3-0 in the ninth and you allow the opposition to score five runs, that's not good. I don't care who you are, under what circumstances. It's just plain flat-out demoralizing. And Street was hitting 89 with his fastball today, Rich. No.
Yeah.
That Street's he's done, I think. At least for this year, I'd be very, very surprised if he has the job for any length of time moving forward.
You know who is? You know who's Houston Street 2.0? Is Mark Melanson. Tim, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that doesn't throw hard. He's a sinker ball pitcher, blah, blah, blah. So just
yep.
Everybody, buyer beware if you're in a dynasty league and you own Mark Melanson. It's a guy that long term you probably don't want to own him, because one day that ball is going to dip under 90 miles an hour. That's when it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, and quick. I totally agree.
Homer Bailey, Tim, good to see him on this list. Quite frankly, good to see him. Remember we talked about him for weeks on end, like, where's Homer Bailey? I never heard anything about where Homer Bailey is, and he pitched pretty well.
Yeah, he didn't do bad at all. He tired a little bit and allowed a run, I think, a couple walks in his last inning today. But, yeah, for the most part, he pitched very, very well. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're looking at about 20% ownership level. Like, he's going to have good days and bad days. You know, the normal inconsistencies coming back from TJ will be there. But I think he's going to have more good than bad days. So if he's available, you're looking for a starter, I think he's a worthwhile investment.
Jabari Blash and Alex Dickerson, the next two guys, both San Diego Padres, you're set. Until Manny Margot and Hunter Renfro arrive, well, Blash might get the – Tim, he's no damn good. So, I mean, I know he's out there, but come on. He's no damn good.
Well, what did he hit? 11 home runs and 170 at bat. You know, he can pop the ball, okay? He can hit it out of the park. If you're not overly concerned about your batting average or OBP, mostly batting average, and you're in need of a short burst of power, give him a look. But that's all it is just short burst.
Alex Dickerson, Tim, is a little better than I think anybody thought he was. I think he has a chance to be a regular contributor on your fantasy team. I mean, he's five outfielders. He's your fourth or fifth outfielder, but you probably could do a lot worse than that.
Well, yeah, he showed off some of his power at the beginning of the week. I think starting Sunday, he homered in four consecutive games. And, you know, you look at the numbers at Triple A, and arguably he was the best of those three outfielders this year prior to his call-up. So I think there's another situation. He's auditioning for a job next year, and I think he's going to have a job in that outfield next year, and a great late sleeper pick.
Joey Gallo got the call this week, Timmy. You say, repeat after me, the power is real. There's a very good chance from everything I'm hearing and reading, he'll be the guy that gets moved for them to add an arm or for them to potentially bring in Jonathan Lucroy. So Joey Gallo might not be a Texas Ranger when this is all said and done.
No, he might not be a Texas Ranger, but he's still going to hit the ball 450 feet on a bad pitch. So I think wherever he ends up, it's going to be straight into the major league roster. And that affords opportunities.
You got Kenny Giles and Nate Jones here as well. But the next guy, Tim, I'm sorry, I got to call you out, and I know you're the great Tim McLeod. You know all. But Mitch Moreland is on this list. And I can tell you, as a Mitch Moreland owner in the past, Mitch Moreland will have weeks, 2 to 3 weeks like he had this week, 5 home runs and 9 RBIs the last week of July. He'll go 0-for, Tim, or 1-for-32 over the next 2 weeks. This is a guy that will have 2 or 3 weeks like he just had. That's where he gets all his production, and he sucks any other time. I'm telling you, Tim, take it to the bank.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm hoping it's a 2 week stint. I cut him in DL2 because I got tired of looking at the continual suckitude that happened week after week after week. And You're right. Yeah, you know, he'll go 1 for 40, okay? At the end of this streak. I'm just hoping and betting that he gets 2 weeks out of this streak. Don't spend a fortune on him, but right now he's hot. Take advantage of it if you can. Don't fall in love with the guy. Please, please, please.
Because I don't know if we've all fallen in love with him, Tim, but I agree with you. If you've owned Mitch Moreland, you know the pain of Mitch Moreland, and this is just as this is a backup player, Tim. He's an extra bat that can get hot and play well, but this is not a guy who is a full-time major league first baseman.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I cut him. I got tired of the frustration.
Exactly.
You know what? Despite the fact that he hit 5 home runs this week, and those would have helped me in DL2, I'm not overly bummed about it, Rich, because I know what's to follow, and it's a constant juggling. You get him active. He goes 1 for 30. Okay, you keep him on your bench. Then he has his hot week. You don't get to count it. All you get are the 1 for 30 weeks. It's like I said, short term, I'm hoping he can coax 2 weeks out of this hot streak, and if you need power, give it a shot, but don't spend a lot, and don't be surprised, like you said, if he goes 1 for 30.
DL2, Tim, your commanding league lead has disappeared, my friend.
But yeah, we're getting some interesting offers there, but I think we're going to hold the course. We got a huge lead in saves. We're going to wheel out. We're going to wheel out 7 starters and see if we can get our wins. We got 3 or 4 points to gain quick and wins. So, what happens, happens, but I'm not going to dismantle that team for a shot this year. Kershaw will be back next year. Life will be good.
Yeah, I'm at 113. You're at 127.5, so I'm a little bit behind, but I was up to 120 a few days ago, and I didn't have any more pitchers to go this week. I've got a bunch of starts next week. Next week will be the tell for me if I have a chance to finish in the money in this league, because if my guys pitch, I'm going to make up a lot of ground in my pitching. But if I lay an egg, Tim, it's probably over.
You're in good shape. You're going to finish no worse than third, Rich.
I'm currently in fourth, though, so some guy named Michaels in third place. I'm looking at it now. So it's a dogfight there, but, again, I've got – if I can get my pitchers, I've got Darvish with a 2-start, Hamels with a 2-start, I think. You know, I got a bunch of guys with 2 starts this week. And I'm going to roll out Dylan Bundy for a 2-start. We're going to see what happens. And I got a ton of closers as well, so –
Yeah, no, you know, you got to wind it up. You got to go for it. There's no, you know, and you do have a great pitching staff in that league. Right now, the only thing we're riding on is Clayton Kershaw's great start. Jake Arrieta has been a huge disappointment the past month, hasn't he?
He sure has. So here's my 2-start guys, Tim. Dylan Bundy with 2 starts. Yu Darvish, 2 starts. Lino Cole Hamels. I got Steven Strasburg with 2 starts, San Francisco and at Arizona. Jacob DeGrom, 2 starts, Yankees and at Detroit. So they're not easy ones out there. And I've decided not to throw Jimmy Nelson 2-start at San Diego and at Arizona, just because I've looked at Jimmy Nelson's splits and they're horrible away from Brewerland.
Okay. Yeah. No. No, you got a great team, Rich. I think you're a lock for third in that one. And like I said, if you were in our situation, Boris and I, you know, our situation, would you move Kershaw, or would you just ride the storm out and cross
your
fingers?
To analyze your team, but I mean, you're going to finish in the money. It's the question whether you finish first or not, and you still have a good chance. So I'm sure you'll make the right call there, Timmy. So I'll take a look at it this week and advise you. And I'm sure I will slant it towards my advantage. So,
Why? Thank you. I appreciate that.
You expect nothing less. The final guy, Tim. I'm not going to bring up Kirk Newenhouse. People can read about that. We've talked about Hector Neris and Tony Watson. Jorge Polanco. Now that Edward Nunez is gone, does he get a chance to come back and play either a little shortstop or a little second base, a little third base? He gets a chance to play because they hate him too.
Well, yeah, he spent more miles traveling between Rochester and Minneapolis this year than you can shake a stick at. I think he's there to stay. You know, what's the point? The Twins are out of it. Let's see what Nunez is gone.
Did he get called
up?
Yeah,
he's on the roster. He played today, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had an RBI or two.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, he's back in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I like his chances to play regular right down the stretch. Like the Twins, what's the point of having a player like Polanco sitting at Rochester? Get him up, give him a 2-month audition, see what he can do, and start planning for the future. Having him at Rochester does absolutely nothing for that organization.
I think Buxton went out with a hammy today too. So, and Bungho Park, any chance they bring him up?
I think there's a chance in September, but I don't think before then. Our boy Big Bad Kenny Vargas is hitting really, really well. So they're not gonna change that mix. I'm happy for the kid. He's getting regular at bats and he's playing very, very well. I hope they stick with Vargas.
Hit his fourth home run today in the first inning. So some of the reason he was taking, I guess, a pinch runner. So he was 2-for-2 with two walks, Timmy. So
yeah.
Our buddy Kenny Vargas, OPS is a 1.129. So, again, we're all in on Kenny Vargas. We wish him the best. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, you know, it's not like the Twins have huge money invested with Park that they have to get him up. Park, by the way, had a three-homer game the other day. If you make a mistake to him and you put it down Main Street, he's going to hit it a mile. There's no doubt about it. But I still think Park has to do something about cutting down the length of that swing to be successful. And we'll see what develops down at Rochester.
I agree with you, Timmy. That's a wrap, man. A good show. We kept it to about an hour and a half, and covered a lot of stuff. I think we gave our listeners their money's worth tonight.
Yeah, I think we do every night, don't we, Rich?
No, like, sometimes. Some days we mail it in, Tim. Let's face it. I thought we did a good job tonight.
Okay. Every once in a while, yeah, I guess we do mail it in, but not very gosh darn often. It's always fun as you head into the trade deadline. There's so much going on. I think as fans of both the game and the fantasy game, it's one of the two or three highlights of the season, watching the player moves and teams position themselves as they set themselves, you know, for the stretch run. Absolutely fascinating, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what shakes down the next 24 hours, because I really believe there's going to be a couple more really big moves.
Yeah, the only sad news is, Tim, August is here. I mean, August is in an hour and a half or 2.5 hours from. That means the baseball season is starting to wind down.
Well, yeah, and before you know it, we'll be talking about the AFL, right?
I know, and then we'll be talking about drafting next year. And, man, Timmy, it's just, I don't know, where's the time going? It's been crazy.
Well, yeah, you know, I can remember as a kid, you're in school, okay, public school, and all you can do is watch the clock and wait, and it takes so long for your summer vacation to finally arrive. And then once you hit about 45, that clock goes on speed dial, and the hands just keep moving and moving and moving quicker and quicker all the time.
Totally agree with you. Tell me, what do you got going on this week?
Absolutely nothing, unless we do a podcast tomorrow night. I'm just going to be kicking back, hanging out in the Facebook page, answering the odd Twitter question and trying to sort out my tote team and get them moving in the right direction, because they have stalled in a big way again.
I will be at games this week, Timmy. I know I'll be at some point down in Trenton, because they are playing the Trenton Thunder, which I should be able to see Clint Frazier. I think he'll be in AA. I think so. And maybe he's in AAA. I don't know. But they're playing the Colorado Rocky AA team, so I'll be heading down there for a couple of the three games. I'm not sure when. I'll let everybody know once I'm in the stadium. Tim, I don't tell people ahead of time, because sometimes I decide to change my plans and we'll go somewhere else. But as soon as I'm walking in the stadium, I'll tell people where I am if you want to join me. So that's what I'll be doing this week.
That is absolutely awesome. I off-the-cuff question for you. Is there any chance we see Yoan Moncada in the AFL this year?
Yes, I definitely think we see him in the AFL. Do not think we see him in the major leagues this year. Yes, I think we see Yoan Moncada. I think we see Andrew Benintendi. I think you're going to see, again, the AFL is going to be a little down just because the minor leagues are down. But I think there's going to be enough players there that are going to be soon up. And wait till you see this guy, Tim. He's a Yasiel Puig physicality kind of guy. He's an impressive human being from a physicality standpoint.
Yeah, I'm still holding hope that Ben Intendi gets a call this year. He had a two-homer day today, if I'm not mistaken. So he's picking up the pace. I could use him in a couple leagues short term.
Yeah, except the Red Sox aren't going anywhere quickly, Timmy. And David Price is really struggling, and it's tough. They need more pitchers there. And if they bring up another pitcher, then I think you'll get a chance to see Andrew Benintendi, because then they'll think they'll have a chance to win.
Well, exactly. Who's in left field for them right now?
I don't know. I think we looked at that before, Timmy, and it wasn't good.
It hasn't changed, I don't think. It definitely hasn't changed.
Let's see. Let me look real quickly here. I got the box scores up. That's Boston, right? B-O-S-O. That was when they beat, came back and won against your Houston streak. Brent's played left field. So, and then Holt came in, and so Brent started, and then Holt came in. So, it's fantastic. Bryce Brent's playing left field, a fifth outfielder. That's fantastic.
So I'm still holding out hope that they make a move there, but it's probably a reach.
By the way, Tyler Skaggs, Tim, in that game was really good. He had two really good outings this year. So if he's sitting on people's waiver wires, it's a guy that coming back from Tommy John surgery, always liked the stuff. Still don't like the delivery so good, but he's somebody that people should be paying attention to.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think we talked about him last week, recommending him, and whoever bought in last week enjoyed some really, really good numbers in those first two starts, and I'm very, very bullish moving forward. I agree. If he's on your waiver wire, go get him.
Timmy, we'll see you maybe tomorrow. If not, we'll definitely see you next Sunday.
Sounds good. Like I said, any time after 4, I'm good to go, Rich, and be well, and hopefully we'll be talking tomorrow night.
All right, Timmy, see you.